welcome to Directions Media's Directions on the News for Tuesday, September 11th, 2007. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor of Directions Magazine, and I'm joined by my colleague Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief. Each week we explore a topic of interest to the geospatial community, and this week we want to explore how the recent disappearance of adventurer Steve Fawcett is, despite its sad nature, a teachable moment. We'll get the latest on satellite imagery available for the search from Digital Globe's Chuck Herring, and then we'll explore how we in the geospatial community, educators, and parents can help people understand more about the technology and how it's being applied in this situation. First, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. With ArcGIS Image Server, you can maximize the value of your imagery by processing and distributing it on the fly, enterprise-wide. Learn more about ArcGIS Image Server at www.esri.com/directionsmag.
Now, last week, the world learned that Steve Fawcett, the well-known adventurer, had disappeared after taking off in a small plane in Nevada. He was looking for a site where someday he might break the land speed record. Not long after his disappearance, his friend, millionaire entrepreneur Richard Branson of Virgin Atlantic, contacted Google to track down some imagery that might help out in the search. Now, while we recognize the serious nature of this disappearance and others, we want to take a look sort of behind the headlines and look at this as an opportunity to educate about the nature of the work that we all do in geospatial. We're joined by Chuck Herring, the Director of Corporate Communications for Digital Globe from Longmont, Colorado. And Chuck, could you give us an update as to what's been happening at Digital Globe regarding collecting imagery that might help in the search for Steve Fawcett?
Thank you, Adina and Joe, for having me. Obviously, as many people know, we were contacted last week to see really what accesses we had to the area to get updated imagery. And as it turns out, we had an access on Wednesday, and we did shoot an image, and we had one on Saturday, and as well shot an image, being that Google is a very close partner of ours, very important partner. We obviously responded to their request. Each one of these cases, we see what kind of capacity constraints or openings we have and shoot as we can. To my understanding, we have shipped at least the Wednesday image over. I'm not sure of the status of Saturday's image. And from what I have seen, they're breaking down the image and have a lot of individuals, mainly via the internet, looking at the images and seeing, tagging them if they see something in the imagery.
Okay, and I have to raise, I hope this isn't an improper question. There seems to be some confusion on the internet about who provided the imagery that's now being looked at through Amazon's Mechanical Turk. Some of the news outlets say that imagery is from GOI. Some of them say it's from Digital Globe. Do you know what's going on with that?
No, I would say both companies are responding to it, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's, both satellite companies have provided an image or some imagery.
Okay, I want to move on to a second topic, which is sort of our theme today, which is about using this, alas, sad and hopefully will end for the best, news story as an opportunity to teach those who are not familiar with remote sensing and geospatial tools about how this all works. So what are the opportunities in this sort of teachable moment from your perspective?
From our perspective, it's about an awareness of another capability, kind of a convergence of technology. When you look at any of the applications we work in, we view, aerial capabilities as being complementary to what satellite can do. And, within this one, you see a lot of plane-based remote sensing. Part of it is people just looking out the plane's windows, but you have, I'm sure you guys have read, and I know I've read, they have some pretty advanced sensors mounted on some of the platforms that are flying out there. And this is another set of eyes, a different platform. It just happens to be hundreds of miles up in space as opposed to plane-based or helicopter-based, but another set of eyes looking out over the search area as we're able to launch more satellites, have more coverage and more capabilities. Right now, anywhere from 2 to 5 day revisit times, that can make it hard in search areas when you have such a broad search area and you're collecting every 2 to 5 days and you're getting a set of that can help fill in where they haven't been able to search, you know, whether it was Jim Gray or this, or there's been countless others where people have contacted us, and they tend to be customers, whether they're U.S. government or state and local agencies, as well as commercial partners contacting with special projects. They tend to be almost, as we would view it, a pilot program so that the folks can get access to the imagery and understand how it can help in their efforts.
Like everybody else, we certainly hope that the contributions of imagery from both Digital Globe and GOI and all the folks on flying out in that area will lead to a positive result.
Well, thank you very much.
Now, as I've been thinking about this whole situation for the past week, there's a series of different opportunities to educate. Some of them have to do with the technology. Some of them have to do with business. And some of them have to do with sort of how we operate as a society. And let me just throw those out as a starting point for our conversation. In terms of technology, I think a lot of people had the opportunity to learn that while Mr. Branson did call up Google, because that's an organization that he has a relationship with, we learned that Google doesn't, in fact, make the satellite data. It licenses it, in this case, from Digital Globe. A lot of people may have learned that the data that's available on Google Earth isn't real time. It's not even close to real time. In fact, it may be up to 3 years old. So that wouldn't be very helpful in taking a look for Mr. Fawcett or anybody who was missing, who had gone missing recently. We also learned that satellites move, and that even if we wanted to get imagery of a certain area, we may not be able to do it right away because we have to wait until the satellite gets to the appropriate location to snap those pictures. And I think a lot of people also learned that in addition to satellite imagery, there's an awful lot of aircraft, helicopters, and airplanes flying around with people looking out the window, and people using sensors to capture different kinds of imaging, and we'll talk about that a little bit more later. From a business standpoint, I think it's interesting to point out the relationships between the companies and the people. So Richard Branson has a relationship with Google. He's done some fundraising for charity with them. Clearly, Google has a relationship with Digital Globe. All of those things, I think, made this possible. One of the reasons that we've come as far as we have even today as we record this on Monday is that we've got more than one satellite, more than one commercial satellite up in orbit. Basically, got three right now that are providing high-resolution imagery. Digital Globe's QuickBird and GOI's Iconos and OrbView 3 are all up there. From a business standpoint, we're in a pretty good sense. We've got a backup in case something isn't in the right place. And finally, I want to talk about how we work in society. Some have pointed out that Richard Branson should have called Digital Globe because he should have known that Google Earth, you know, doesn't make the imagery and so forth. Just the fact that he had someone to call, which is possible today in 2007, a number of years ago, he wouldn't even have known that the imagery was available, perhaps. I also think it's valuable to point out that when you're involved in a situation like this or any kind of situation where you don't know where to start, start with what you do know. So he made a call to Google. Google, in turn, turned around, made that connection to the actual data provider. So I think that's a valuable thing, especially for young students to learn. Start with, if you want to learn, know how to build an airplane, maybe you'll ask the person next door who happens to be a pilot. They may not know how to build an airplane, but they can help you get to the answer to your question. The other big sort of cultural question, and this has come up on our blog, Steve Fawcett is very famous, so is Richard Branson. Is that fact having a lot to do with how much energy is putting into this particular search? And what would happen if this was somebody who wasn't quite so plugged in culturally? How do we make sure that these kind of resources are available? So that's sort of my list of some of the opportunities we have to educate and teach based on what's going on right now.
To follow up quickly on your cultural point, the one thing that came to light as the search was going on for Steve Fawcett was that although they did not find his plane, they found six other wrecks that had not been found, three of which that had been not even charted as yet. And so from a standpoint of how come these planes weren't found previously, but yet there's the effort expended for Steve Fawcett is kind of interesting. I know that we want to focus on some of the technology issues as well as some of the business issues. I think one thing we can start off by telling people is, you know, one big point that you brought up, which is the currency of the imagery and how some of the companies like Digital Globe and GOI were kind of brought into this to see if they could acquire any additional imagery. And indeed, in just talking to Chuck Herring, you know, he informed us that a couple of images were taken as early as or as recently as Saturday. So we're getting closer, and we've discussed this before, to the point where real-time imagery can be acquired, and what's the criteria by which you go about repositioning satellites or hoping that satellites are in the right position to get something very, very recent.
Now, you have found some references to hyperspectral imagery being used in this search. Is that right?
Yeah, on Steve Fawcett's website, they were kind of running a day-by-day review of what the efforts were in trying to find him. And one of the things mentioned, I believe it was for September 5th entry, was that hyperspectral instrumentation was being used on some of the airborne crafts that were being flown. Now, a hyperspectral has to do more with the spectral resolution of the instruments more than the spatial resolution, although certainly spatial is a part of it. Hyperspectral being to the point where you have many, many bands, many, many slices of the radiometric spectrum. Usually on GOI and the Iconos satellites, we have basically anywhere between 4 and 7 bands of the electromagnetic spectrum. And these are fairly wide bands that acquire imagery. So you're kind of getting a gross look spectrally at the ground. Hyperspectra is going down into several nanometer bandwidth of being captured. And so whereas, you know, you're looking at wide bands of the electromagnetic spectrum, the hyperspectral instruments divided very, very finely. So you're left with an awful lot of data to generate, and in some definitions you'll see this thing called a spectral cube, because there is so much information out there that is being used to classify land features. So when somebody does a land classification with Landsat imagery, for example, they will look at certain bands of the spectrum. Here they may be looking at several hundred bands of the electromagnetic spectrum. In other words, to get a digital picture of what they're looking for. And as you'll see on some of the sites that is represented on the Steve Fawcett site, they're putting out a little picture of an airplane to show you just how big this airplane is and what the both spectral and spatial resolution of that imagery is. So they're using some very sophisticated instruments to classify land features and man-made features to be able to identify the individual airplanes.
Great. Well, we'll leave it there and we'll continue to follow this story, which hopefully will come to a positive end. As we record now, it's been a full week that Mr. Fawcett's been missing. Before we go, our sponsor, ESRI, would like to remind you that the ESRI Health GIS Conference will be held in Scottsdale, Arizona, on October 7th through the 10th. There you can meet and network with peers and thought leaders to explore best practices and future directions for GIS in health and human services. For more information, visit www.esri.com/directionsmag. We invite you to respond to our podcasts, make suggestions about topics we might cover. You can reach us at editors@directionsmag.com. Thanks for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.